WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Is there a K-12 student in your life? If so, well, Governor Pritzker is coming for that cell phone.
I'll move forward with legislation requiring all school districts in Illinois to adopt a cell phone policy that bans the use of phones during classroom instruction.
That was Pritzker during his State of the State address last week. The governor says the move would help students learn more and develop better social skills, all while limiting cyberbullying. But it might also mean parents can't reach their children, at least not for a good portion of the day. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Bills are already making their way through both chambers in Springfield. So if this comes to pass, what could it mean for parents, teachers, and students? In this conversation, you'll hear from an expert on tech and kids, the head of an Illinois school district that already went phone-free, and from listeners with their own thoughts on the topic. But first, we turn to Chicago Sun-Times education reporter Nader Issa. He kicked things off with just what exactly the cell phone ban Pritzker's championing could look like. Here's Nader.
It really depends on where you're going to school. It could even depend from school to school in the same district. Mm-hmm. What Governor Pritzker's proposal does is it calls on every single school district in Illinois, whether they're a public school district or they're a charter school that's part of a public school district, to come up with a policy. He wants cell phone use to be restricted during instructional time in classrooms.
Okay, and so not necessarily when you're in the hallway or at
right,
lunch.
Cafeterias, even in between periods, things like that. They really just want students, when they're in class, sitting at desks, a teacher's at the front of the room, to be looking at the front of the room and paying attention. Mm-hmm. And so what Governor Pritzker is saying is that cell phones right now are a distraction from that important task of paying attention to what's going in class.
Right. And so are there any exceptions, Nader? Like, are there moments where in the classroom you would be allowed to have access to your phone as a student?
Yeah, the governor's proposal lists out some key areas. One is special education. If there's a student with a disability, they have an IEP or a 504 plan, which is, you know, a personalized plan that lists out their educational needs, and they need a cell phone or some type of device to help with their education. It mm-hmm. can be used there. For students that, for example, need translation services or lessons in different languages because they're English language learners, they could use that if there's a medical concern. Or if a teacher just wants to use a device for a lesson, any way that devices could further the educational mission, if you want to call it that. Yeah. I sound like a superintendent or something, but
you've been hanging around there.
I have. So that all of those types of things are exceptions that could bring cell phones or iPads or anything else into the classroom.
And I want to underscore a point you made earlier, that the schools themselves and the districts would have a lot of control here, it seems.
Yeah, it would really be a sort of district-by-district policy. They would have until, I believe, the next school year to come up with a plan, mm-hmm. a policy that would lay out how phones can be used in their schools and their district. If they want to ban cell phones in hallways, at cafeteria, you know, for the entire school day, they could.
Right.
It's just they would have the minimum requirement of banning them inside classrooms.
I see. You know, the governor's office last year told WBEZ that there weren't any plans to consider something like this, a statewide policy that limits the use of cell phones in the classroom. Now, obviously, after hearing that State of the State address, Pritzker has changed his tune. What is it about this moment, you think?
Yeah, you know, when we heard the governor, I was like, didn't my colleague Anna Savchenko just write about this a few months ago?
And correct.
The governor's office said there's no plans at the time for a statewide ban. But there is research. This is something that's been talked about for quite some time. There's research that shows that cell phones can be a distraction. They can, you know, spur cyberbullying. They can be sort of a crutch for students and children's social development.
Mm-hmm.
And so the governor's office cited that research when they announced this proposal. One of the studies is from the Pew Research Center. It shows that 72% of high school teachers nationwide say cell phone distractions are a major problem in their classrooms.
Mm, yeah.
And there also seems to be generally broad support. Most adults are in favor of some type of limitation on cell phones in schools in some way, just not for the whole school day.
Yeah. Your Sun-Times colleague, Cindy Hernandez, talked to a few Chicago students for their takes on the topic. I can kind of guess what they had to say, because if it's anything like what my kids were telling me last night as I was preparing for this conversation, it's probably not going to be good. So here is what one senior in Little Village had to say. And just a heads up to our listeners, it was a little bit windy on that day.
Well, obviously, in case of an emergency, I can't call my parent. Like, if something happened at school, obviously, we live in a dangerous neighborhood. A lot of gun violence here, a lot of gang violence. So if something happens, like, how's my mom going to know? She's going to be, like, worried sick for, like, hours.
Said, my mom's going to be worried sick for, like, hours if something was to go down. That was Diego, who's a senior at Farragut Career Academy. So, yeah, I'm hearing things like that at home. I imagine other students are saying the same, Nader.
Yeah, it's sort of just this prevailing thought that, how am I going to go about my day when I'm so used to having my cell phone? And safety is a big one that comes up from both students and parents. And there are one of the exceptions I forgot to mention is if there's an emergency or an imminent threat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think a lot of people might describe emergency differently. There might be various views on that. But
yeah, I think some of the topics when I look back at my conversations with my girls during the school day. Was that really an emergency? I don't know.
But that's sort of the prevailing sentiment. There was a funny quote from another student at Farragut who said, if someone doesn't want to do their work, they're going to find a way not to do it. And so the cell phone ban, you know, right. it is what it is. It's not going to change much. I think researchers and the governor are betting otherwise.
Yeah, no, there's a good point here, too, that, you know, when we're working, do we want our kid or our spouse to be calling us while we're in the middle of trying to get something done? And the answer is probably no.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm young, admittedly, but when I was in school, I couldn't reach my family. I couldn't talk to my mom.
That is true.
And this was you know, not 2 decades ago.
They had to call the office.
Right. You would call the office. You'd get a call down. Something's really wrong. I mean, we live in a new day and age, but I do think that there is a bit of a new reality or a new sort of reliance on being able to communicate at any time of day.
Any other states or cities trying this out? And is it working?
Yeah, there are some that have tried, you know, about a dozen to 15 states have some sort of rule in place. Others are trying. California just last year passed similar legislation limiting the use of cell phones in schools. In terms of how it's working, I talked to Jocelyn Carter. She's Dr. Jocelyn Carter, I should say. She's a clinical psychology professor at DePaul. And she said there's no research right now that shows what the effect has been on cell phone bans or limitations in schools. But she did say that research shows it should have a positive effect because screen time, you know, limits social development. It is an avenue for cyberbullying and a distraction. So that there should be benefits that some schools see, and there are some in Chicago and Illinois that are reporting just anecdotally that they've seen improvements.
Interesting. And we've got a couple of folks already lined up, so let's hear from them. First up is Pierre from Portage Park. Hey, Pierre, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. What's your take on this debate?
I think as long as there's a working telephone in the school, I see absolutely no problem with saying that a person who's learning can't have a cell phone throughout the school day. I'm not quite sure what the trouble is. Besides, how on earth are we going to effectively enforce this?
Very good question. Enforcement.
That's something that, you know, we've seen in schools that have tried this already. They might, it depends on what level of restriction they have. They might have students check their phones in into like a pouch at the start of the day and they get it back at the end of the day. Others have, you know, numbered pouches in each classroom where students drop their phones off at the start of the class. So it's
interesting.
It's really about, you know, taking them away, not just trusting students that they're not going to use them.
Yeah. Some, that would be the tricky part.
Yeah. Some have just trusted the students that they won't use them, but it depends on the school and the district.
Good question, Pierre. Let's hear now from Colin in Mandalay. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. What's your take on this cell phone ban in schools?
I entirely agree with Pritzker. I think that students should not be utilizing their cell phones during class. I do think that there should be like an emergency button under the teacher's desk or something to where they can have a quick, like if there is a school shooter situation or, you know, something else where they do need emergency aid, that there be a very quick way to do that without the use of a cell phone.
Yeah.
But like the other guy, I forgot his name, gentleman on your show, he said, you know, he went through school. I went through school. I was born in 1982. I didn't need to contact anyone throughout the day.
Right.
There was really no need for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I remember growing up in the early 80s, going to school, and it was easy breezy if my parents really did have to get a hold of me. So thanks for calling, Colin. Another caller, Lisa in North Shore, said, you know, we already implemented that here, and it may cause anxiety for parents, but it's helping the kids feel normal and focus on learning. I want to bring another voice to the conversation with us, Nader. We've got Sharon Desmoulins-Carrat, who's superintendent of Peoria Public Schools, on the phone. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone.
Hi. So tell us, the phone ban's already in place there. How has it been received in Peoria?
It has been received very, very well. Our board voted last year, May 24th, to ban it. So it's banned throughout the day from 7:30 to 2:30. So cell phones are placed in pouches because they have really provided a lot of challenges for us. So the whole idea is to improve the learning environment because it has been causing distraction, conflicts, and of course the bullying, the mental health challenge that we've heard about. And the community has been very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Our teachers union, our teachers are very happy. They'll tell you lots of engagements. When we first started in July, August, I received a lot of emails from teachers saying, hey, thank you for doing this. It's changed the teaching landscape. Kids are watching each other. They're communicating. They have face-to-face contact. And,
interesting.
Yes, yes. It has been very positive for us. Of course, there's challenges as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, your district officials here discovered some unintentional positives after implementing the ban, right? Talk more about some of the pros of this change. Like I hear, you know, stress went down too, stress levels.
Yes, better engagement. And I checked in with all of my high school principals and everyone said better student engagement in class, happy teachers because of the impact on instruction, student-to-student communication that have increased significantly, less conflict among students, and more assignments are being turned in as well.
Mm-hmm. What about parents? How are they reacting?
Yeah, so the majority of parents, I would say, are very supportive. With Pierre's report, I agree. When we were in the process of implementing, I've gotten a couple of emails, a couple of phone calls, primarily around how am I going to get a hold of my child in case I need to. And we talked about, you know, everyone, we're a one-to-one district, so everyone has a laptop, they can communicate that way. And of course, they can call the office as well. And, you know, there's some unique situations like yesterday, I received an email from a parent. She and her husband, they actually are drivers for us in the transportation department.
Okay.
Apparently, her daughter is like a chronic, not rule follower, a chronic not following the rules.
Okay.
Yes. And so she texts me and said, hey, I'm in favor of this. But the only thing, and so once you get to, we have different levels like compliance and non-compliance, mm-hmm. excessive compliance. And so at when you get to a certain point, all the way down on tier three, the red zone, they literally take the phone away and the parents have to pick it up. And okay. so her argument was, you know, we're in a neighborhood where she walks home and it's not safe and, you know, that sort of thing. And we had a conversation. I will talk with her again and
will
she be punished? Yes. But we did work with the parents. So it was a happy, we'll work with our parents. We'll provide grace as long as, you know, they're working with us as well. Because
yeah.
it's clear that she's broken the rules several times.
Yeah. Well, good to hear that you're taking it on sort of a, what sounds like a case by case scenario. Yes. And of course, when you implement anything new, there are bound to be, you know, hiccups at some point. Is there anything, Sharon, that you think you would have done differently?
Yes, so I have actually spoken with a lot of districts who've sort of, they're following our journey and they're asking. So, you know, the pouches were expensive, so we spent quite a bit of money. And I know some school districts cannot afford purchasing, you know, pouches. And we did have, as Pierre mentioned, I was a high school principal and we had our first policy was off and out of sight. We do not want to see it. And there were so many arguments and they were pervasive throughout the system. So they don't really need to purchase pouches necessarily. There are other ways they can still do that. Then the other thing is all of our high school students are wanded every morning. So sometimes it becomes a cat and mouse game in terms of where it's hidden. And there could be some arguments that, but it's gotten a lot better. The line to get into the school was a little long initially, but I had to add more supports to get that going and more seamless and more efficient. So those are some of the things we've made adjustments, but I'll tell you, with all of those things, every one of the principals have said resoundingly, it's made a big difference. We do not want to go back. We'll work through the glitches. We'll work through the kinks. I gave them permission to get together as a group to talk about what they're experiencing with the pouches because they could be easily broken and stuff like that. And they were really excited and I'm looking forward to seeing some of the additional ideas. So it's a journey and we're learning.
It's a work in progress, but it sounds like you're pulling it all together.
Yes, yeah. The positive definitely outweighs the cons.
That's Superintendent of Peoria Public Schools, Sharon Desmoulins-Carat. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, so this conversation kept going because those phones, well, they were ringing off the hook. Nader Issa from the Sun-Times stuck around, and we were joined by Devorah Heitner, who's the author of Growing Up in Public, Coming of Age in a Digital World. But we went back to the phones first. Here's Parth in Hoffman Estates with an interesting question.
You know, cell phones are a great start, in my opinion, but in the classroom, there's also iPads as well as Apple Watch smartwatches.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be included or not? What's the go forward there?
That's a good question, Parth. I'm thinking as a parent, you know, watching my kids with these Chromebooks every day, you know, what are they going to ban? What else?
Yeah, I think the school-issued devices are something that would stay and teachers would be able to use for lessons if needed. In California, I mentioned earlier in the show that state passed legislation banning devices during schools. What they found was students started using GChat and other functions on the school devices to talk to each other. And so they went ahead and banned that, too. So
yeah.
I think some of this is going to be a work in progress. You know, smartwatches, that'll be up to each district to decide. But those are all things that if the intent is to not have distractions and have kids focused on the lesson,
mm-hmm.
then I think, you know, superintendents will be looking at that and school boards and deciding what device can stay, what can't, and if it's a school-issued device, what functions should still be enabled.
You know, what I'm also hearing from parents is that kids are using burner phones to put in that pouch at the start of each class, and then they can continue to use their own phone
That is something that I've heard in Chicago schools too. And in CPS, there are some schools that have gone ahead and banned this already because there's not a district-wide policy, and they're seeing that there as well.
Kids will be kids. They'll find a workaround somehow. Devorah, what is your reaction to Governor Pritzker endorsing a proposal like this?
I think Pritzker is representing that the state of Illinois has empathy for teachers and their frustrations with some of the challenges that come with having highly connected kids with multiple devices in school buildings every day. So I think he's, you know, responding to the research that says, hey, teachers are saying this is distracting. Principals and deans are saying there can be discipline issues. But what Parth brings up and what you all are just talking about is kids are innovative. Mm-hmm. Right? Which is, you know, which is like a nicer way of thinking about it than just sneaky. They're innovative. And using GChat, I would argue, is like a creative, innovative solution to being able to chat in class when your, you know, phone is shut down and you can't sort of text under your desk. Then you have your Chromebook on your desk. And so I think schools need to think not just about banning. I mean, that's like saying if kids are looking out the window, we're going to just like draw the shades or not have windows. I think we also need to be looking at what are we doing in the classroom to promote connected learning, to promote students being interested? You know, if everyone is doing a project in the classroom versus just sitting and listening, if students, if they have their devices out, have to be using those devices to contribute to a collaborative document that's like part of something they're making together or mm-hmm. editing together, as opposed to just sort of sitting and listening but having their Chromebook or their tablet out. Those are strategies we can use. And, you know, the same thing with social skills, right? If we're worried about social skills, what are we doing to promote young people interacting in positive ways at lunch, at recess, and in the classroom, as opposed to just like, let's shut them down off their phones? I think mm-hmm. it really has to be, you know, kind of a 360 degree consideration of what are these students' lives like.
Yeah. And with all that into consideration, Devorah, I mean, do you think that these types of policies actually work?
I think they make it a little bit easier to be a school when there's a uniform policy with the state, then the school can say, okay, we have this policy as a state, so we don't have to completely invent the wheel. That said, most schools in Illinois already have cell phone policies, right? So this isn't something completely new. And actually, this policy is not, you know, super draconian in the sense that, you know, the governor is leaving space for, importantly, for students with special needs, including health needs, like maybe somebody's tracking, you know, glucose during the school day with their cell phone, mm-hmm. and looking at emergencies and time in between classes. But most schools already have policies like this where, you know, most schools, in other words, don't say a student can be sitting in physics class just texting their friends.
Right.
Like, that wouldn't be okay already. And most teachers already have policies, but it does kind of free the teachers to not feel like I have to invent the wheel in my own school, or free principals to say, okay, we have mm-hmm. this baseline. We can make a policy that's actually more stringent or reaches to more devices. Like, some elementary schools might want to say no watches, for example, because parents are texting their third grader on a watch. And it's
right. Oh my goodness. The times that we have
can build on the policy, but it's nice to have that uniform beginning.
For sure. I want to float by you an email that we got from a listener who knew that we were going to be having this conversation today. Her name's Haley, and she wrote to us saying, summarizing a point that we made earlier in the show, but I'd love your take, Devorah. Haley said, when we were in school, if our parents needed to talk to us, they would call the office and we would go to the office to answer the phone. This is still an option. I get the fears with school shootings. I have those fears too. So I do believe students should be able to have their phones, but I think they need to be off during school hours. We need to change this for the safety and mental health of our children. So that's safety piece and the mental health piece, Devorah, weigh in.
Absolutely. I think kids are anxious, especially since the pandemic, and kids may be reaching out to their parents, and that anxiety can be mutual. A lot of parents, as you say, like, are reaching out to kids or, you know, checking in. Did you remember this? Did you, you know, what about this? And some of that is probably too much, and it's good for parents to have the reminder that you can actually be getting your kid in trouble. You know what? If you text your kid during the school day to check in about something, you know, that may seem important but might not be actually a life or death scenario, you could be getting them in trouble related to these policies. And just mm-hmm. to remind parents to have that restraint in contacting their children.
Right.
So that can be helpful. And in terms of mental health, we do see kids seeing distressing things, seeing social media rumors, seeing algorithmically based content on things like TikTok or YouTube that can be very distressing or distracting. But we still need to deal with that in school. We need to be teaching media literacy and digital citizenship in school because the kids are going to be on these devices outside of school. So what I wouldn't want to see is a policy like this lead people to say, okay, we have the cell phone ban, so we don't need to teach media literacy and digital citizenship. Because those are still really important.
Yeah, good points there. Nader, I want to read you a comment that we got from a caller. Angela in Naperville couldn't stay on the line, but she says she's concerned that this policy would divert funds from more important initiatives for installation of alternatives and regulation. You know, she also says this is a free country, quote. Are you hearing comments like this or people on the other side of this story here?
Yeah, I think it just depends on the district and the school and what sort of parents and families are used to.
She's saying maybe spend the money on other things.
Yeah.
Not pouches for cell
phones. I did look at this, and we heard from the Peoria superintendent who said the pouches were expensive. That's a cost barrier. Especially, I mean, you look at Chicago Public Schools, for example, thinking of getting 320,000 pouches, I think is going to be pretty expensive.
That's a lot, yeah.
There are other states that when they passed legislation, they gave state funding to school districts to be able to implement this. And it just depends. Like, you don't have to get pouches. There are some schools that use existing sort of, you know, those little cubby lockers in classrooms. Kids put their cell phones there, or they just put them on a table at the front of the classroom and don't have access to them. I do think that's one piece of this, too, is just the type of enforcement. There are some educators who said not being so strict and like locking up the phones for the whole day has been a benefit, because you also want kids to sort of self-enforce in a way and learn how to regulate their own behaviors with their phones.
Yeah.
There were times when they would see kids, they haven't had their phone all day. And there's a quote I saw that students would rush to their phones like candy. Like they just had this attachment that they needed to go check their phone. But if they're building that habit throughout the day, that might sort of teach them how to not rely on their phone as much.
Right. Let's hear from a former teacher who's been waiting on the line. Here's Gail from Joliet. Hey, Gail. Welcome to Reset.
Hey. Thank you.
So you've got a different perspective here, you know, being someone who was in the classroom. What was it like for you?
Yes. Well, when I first started teaching in 77, it was not bad at all. We didn't have that problem. It wasn't until like probably the late 20-teens or early 20s there was a problem with it. Now, I did retire in 2019, and we were just starting to have a problem. Kids would have it, but when they were asked and told to put them away, they would. Mm-hmm. Now, I just did a permanent sub position for a teacher in a suburb of Chicago, and it was horrible. They would not put their phones away. They had their phones out the entire time with class. You ask the kids to put them up, their idea of putting them up is on their lap, and then as soon as you turn around or, you know, start something else, they have their phones out again. They had their phones out during instruction, they had their phones out during videos, they had their phones out all the time. They could not get their phones
They are addicted
away.
To those devices, that's for sure. Thanks, Gail, for your perspective. So, Devorah, how can parents best support kids in this increasingly digital world? Because let's admit, I mean, tech is where it's at, and that's where it's going. So it's going to exist. They're going to have access. How can we best support them and just sort of draw that line?
We need to recognize that we're the models, right? We have our phones out a lot. If we are texting and driving, if we are watching TV with our kids, but also looking at our phones and double screening, you know, which is something I sometimes get called out for by my own 16-year-old. He's like, didn't you say in your books not to do that? I'm like, oh yeah, busted, right?
Me too,
so we
guilty.
We need to be thinking about our own modeling. And for sure, the one time that I believe parents, you know, should universally probably take a very hard line is around sleep, because they can't function in school or socially or academically or athletically right the next day if they haven't gotten their sleep. So that's a really important time to unplug, is, you know, in that time before bed when they're winding down, and certainly while they're sleeping. When we see kids sleeping in rooms with connected devices, which could be a school device, right? That needs to maybe be out of the sleeping space, but also a personal device. that can be really difficult. And also nothing good happens on that group text at 2 in the morning, right? In terms of like how are kids interacting with each other, treating one another. If it's 2 in the morning, it's not going to be the best.
Not at all. Yeah.
That's a way that parents can support their kids' school success and life is just making sure they're unplugging at night. And then talking to them about those policies. And I absolutely agree with what you were just saying about the self-regulation, that if we if we over-focus on locking kids down, then they are just going to move to other apps as opposed, you know, on their school devices versus talking to them about, hey, what are the safety risks of being distracted while you're lighting this Bunsen burner? Like, let's focus on, again, what we want kids to do and not just what we want them not to do.
Absolutely. Let's squeeze in one last caller. Here's Stephanie from Evanston.
Hi. Yeah, I really appreciate everything you guys are talking about. I just wanted to bring up a little bit of a counterpoint. My daughter has an Apple Watch because she walks to school, and we have it locked up on screen time and all that stuff because, you know, we don't want her having that much screen time. But there was one day where she walked to school, and then she was marked absent. And, you know, we have, like, you know, real-time info now because the schools are so connected. And we're like, wait, why is her daughter not at school? She should be there. And we tried calling the front desk and we couldn't reach anyone. It was about 2 hours. And it was terrifying. And me and my husband were both far away at work and couldn't get to the school to like physically make sure she was still there. And the only like solace we had was that her Apple Watch showed her like on the school grounds. But it was so scary. And I think just thinking about like now as parents, we have access to all this information. It just kind of changes the landscape.
So I just
want to, you know, make sure that's like part of the conversation.
That is a great point to add to the conversation, Stephanie. Thank you so much for calling. That safety piece again, Nader, here it comes. And in real time, right? We find my iPhone, find my Apple Watch. I use it all the time. Once I get off the air, I'm about to check that those girls are, you know, in class as well. So, I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if the school districts have to recognize the reality of where we live, what sort of era we live in right now. And I mean, when we were all growing up, I don't think any schools had real time attendance sent to, unless, you know, a kid was missing and the parent might get a call sometime this morning.
Listen, when I left the house in the morning back in the day, until you saw me come back home again that afternoon, that evening, I could have been dead on the side of the road, but my parents just knew I was okay.
Yeah, and so I think that's a good tool that school districts can offer, you know, to let their parents know that your student was here or your student is marked absent. But if they're going to offer that and then they're going to ban devices during the school day, you do have to offer parents some sort of lifeline. So, staff the main office, make sure if that phone rings, someone's picking up and they're answering questions. Because you can't have parents worried for 2 hours, and the only way that they know their child's at school is because of an Apple Watch. I think those are all good technology tools that we have, but they're, if you think they're the balance means no cell phones in class, then that office phone really has to be a place that parents can call and get answers.
Absolutely. We'll leave it there for now. That's Nader Issa, who's a Chicago Sun-Times education reporter. We've also been talking with Devorah Heitner, who's author of Growing Up in Public, Coming of Age in a Digital World. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed and Alyssa Manthi. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. To never miss an episode, hit subscribe wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.